In the name of Jesus, amen. The gospel lesson is the basis for our sermon this morning. The idea of going to the dentist is an idea that often provokes a little anxiety in people's minds. Going to the dentist is not a favorite thing of people to do. Just the thought of it can fill us with dread. And of course, that does make the job of the dentist more challenging. Out of all the medical professionals, dentists have one of the highest rates of suicide. And you need to kind of think about that. You know, imagine having a job where every day no one wants to see you. It's kind of the job they have. Imagine you have a friend who comes to you and they complain to you about their dentist. And your friend tells you that his dentist offends him. And you ask, well, what do you mean by that? And your friend says, well, the dentist, he makes me open my mouth wide and it's uncomfortable. And then he pokes around in my mouth with sharp objects and there's bright lights and there's strange noises. And then besides all of that, the dentist always seems to find something wrong. And your friend says, I've had enough. I'm offended by that kind of behavior. I'm going to find a dentist who will not cause any discomfort and will not find anything wrong. Now, what would you say to somebody who said that? Probably say something like, well, you know, the dentist, he's just doing his job. The dentist is supposed to be more concerned with your teeth than about your feelings. And if he doesn't poke and prod around and cause some discomfort, he'll never be able to find the problem and to correct it, because that's his job. Truth can be difficult for some people to hear. Truth can be offensive. But to disregard it, because disregarding it can lead to even bigger problems. Now, Jesus obviously is not a dentist, but Jesus also offends people when he's doing his job. We hear about that in our gospel reading today. Jesus speaks words of truth. In fact, he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And truth doesn't change. That's what makes it truth. You may not want to hear it. You might find it offensive, but it doesn't change it. Because that's why it's truth. In our gospel lesson, we hear about Jesus at the beginning of his public ministry. He's in Nazareth, the town where he had grown up. And he goes to church, goes to the synagogue on church day, the Sabbath day. And as was his custom, that's what he did. And as part of the church service, men would take turns reading the scriptures aloud. And then they would offer a word of instruction based on that scripture. We get our pattern for Christian worship from that same pattern of worship. We read the scriptures and then the pastor gives a word of instruction based on those scripture readings. Jesus is handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after he read this, he hands the scroll back to the attendant and sits down. And everybody waits for him to give a word of instruction. In our church services, the pastor stands for the sermon and you all sit down. In the church services of Jesus' day, the pastor, the preacher would sit down and all the people would stand up to listen to what he had to say. Jesus sits down and he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus says, "I'm the fulfillment of this. I'm the anointed one. I'm the one who has come to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim good news to the poor." And this is one of the few places where we're told something about the way Jesus spoke. The Bible tells us everyone was amazed. The Bible tells us people were amazed at the gracious words that came from Jesus' lips. In fact, somebody even says, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Now, we don't know if they meant that as a criticism, or if they thought, well, you know, for a carpenter's son, this isn't too bad. Or maybe they thought he was a little bit above his status. At any rate, if Jesus would have just stopped there, it would have been fine. Church service would have ended, people would have gone home to their Sabbath day meals, and everything would have been just the way it would any other Sabbath day. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Well, we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when there was a famine over all the land, but Elijah was sent only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." And when the people heard Jesus say these things, they were outraged. They went nuts. And this was in church. How dare he talk that way to us? He's calling himself a prophet. He's putting Gentiles ahead of us. And they were so offended, they rose up out of their church service. They take Jesus, drive him out of town, because they're going to throw him off a cliff. That's how outraged they were. What happened to their compliments of the way that he was talking? And here we see the nature of sin. Sin says, "I will behave well until I hear something I don't want to hear. Until I hear something I don't like. Then I will act offended and do what I want, regardless of what you or anyone else says." And here we see that it's possible. It's possible for a person to go to church. It's possible to participate in all the rituals and still to keep Jesus out. They did it back then, and it's possible for us to do that today. People today in general have no problem with religion, as long as it's religion their way. As long as they can have religion when it's convenient for them, when it fits their plans, when it fits their way of thinking. We'll take the parts of Jesus we like. It's the parts of Jesus we don't like that we have trouble with. And then we'd rather just ignore or pretend like we never heard it. Following Jesus, however, is not like ordering off a menu. You don't get to pick and choose. When the importance of God in your life is you trying to decide how God can best help you, you've just made yourself God. And that's unbelief. Conceit, self-centeredness, they're just other forms of unbelief. And such attitude fill our hearts, even in church. Or we might say, especially in church. And Jesus would point that out in you. He'd point that out in you that he might point himself out as your Savior. You see, we'd much rather have a God that we could shape the way we want, who would do what we like, who would offer us the things that we would like to have, but such a God cannot save. We need a God who will save us from ourselves. And that's what Jesus comes to do. He saves us from ourselves by saving us from our sin. Dealing with sin is never pleasant, especially not when it hits close to home. Covering it up doesn't make it go away. The writer to the book of Hebrews describes the Word of God with these words: "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. If you don't think those words really apply to you, or if you don't think that's going to happen to you, you're living in a dream world. We will all stand before God. We will all individually have to give an account. And the good news for you and for me is Jesus stands with us. Jesus stands for us. He comes to proclaim good news to those who are desperate and poor because of their sins, weak in their connection with God. He comes to proclaim liberty to the captives, those caught in the web of sin. He comes to help those blinded by their own selfishness and to set free those who are oppressed by their failures. And that's us. That's you and that's me, and that's who Jesus comes to help and to save. And that's good news for us. And if you don't want that, well, then you might as well try to throw Jesus off a cliff. But even that's not going to happen. He won't let it. Jesus comes to set us free. And He does that through His Word. He does that through our baptisms. He does that through His Holy Supper, by which He nourishes and feeds us. That's how much He loves you. And He will continue to do that. You are a work in progress, and it's an ongoing process, and He'll keep working at it in you through the power of His Word. So listen to that Word, especially those parts you don't like. He's at work, and His truth is going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.